Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 is going to have a lot of the same language as Philippians chapter 2. You know what? To get our minds a little focused and a little bit clear, let's go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Philippians 1:28. Philippians 1:28. Do not be frightened by your adversaries. This is a sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this from God. For to you it was granted on the behalf of Christ to not only believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. So again, we know that there is already some persecution happening. There is already an idea of people being unsettled. And so when people face persecution, which we have not, unless you've been to a different country and have experienced it in the country, you have not experienced persecution in America. Okay, like this. Okay, when people are going out hunting down to kill you, or to cause problems, put you in jail, it's different. What other negatives do we see? Go to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3. In verse 2, he also tells them, chapter 3, 2, watch out for dogs, watch out for evil workers, watch out for those who practice mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and boast in Christ Jesus and place no trust in the flesh. So we have another group of people at the same time, these Jewish believers who are coming in causing problems, they're evil workers, and they practice different things than what Paul had told the group at Philippi. Again, so Paul, writing this letter, is in prison at Rome. It's about 10 years after Paul was there, and this story here at the Philippian church is covered in Acts chapter 16. At that time, we're about 50-52 A.D., this letter was written about 60-62, around there. Paul is eventually going to get out of prison. We see already in this letter that he mentions to them. He's going to get out. He's looking forward to seeing them. He's going to try and down see them when he is let out and be a part of that group. But nonetheless, he's writing this letter there to encourage them. They're doing great things. Over a 10-year period, they have elders, they have deacons, they're doing well. They still need a little bit of help. All right, so let's take it up here in Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 1, Philippians 4, 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brothers, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. So again, when you see therefore, you look up above, and we see that he's talking about their citizenship is in heaven. They're looking forward to Christ's return, which is where we get one of our beliefs. Again, people have different views, and we don't really argue over them. But if in Timothy, if there is a crown given to those who look forward to Christ's coming, it would make sense of what we call a pre-tribulation rapture, which is the 7-year tribulation period, not tough times, not tribulations like in this world, because they're going through them now here in Philippi, but that view, because they're looking forward to his coming, right here at the end of chapter 3. Since then, Paul is encouraging them, saying, hey, you guys are my joy, Philippians. You are my crown, which is showing others, okay, how beautiful they are to Paul. So that crown is, listen, you guys are a reward that I have, and I am thankful to be a part of your group and what you stand for. Isn't that nice? Isn't that awesome? Again, they had humble beginnings, didn't they? A couple families saved. It put Paul and Silas in prison. They were beaten when church first started. So they had humble beginnings. And now it's a grown church doing great things for the Lord. So we see here in verse 2, I exhort Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now we know what that same mind is, because he just talked about it in chapter 2. So just to refresh our minds, let's see what the mind of Christ looks like. Philippians 2. And verse 5, Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you all, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the form of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on a cross. So we see here that this mind of Christ is humble, emptying of yourself, which means you can, by every right, be doing something else, but you're choosing to instead be obedient to the Lord and what God has for you. Does that make sense? That's what the mind of Christ looks like. It's very humble. It's very meek. It's very encouraging. It's very loving. It's very kind. It's very merciful. It's very graceful. That's the mind of Christ. See, that's the mind of Christ here. So when he's over here in chapter 4 telling them, listen, have these two women, you guys need to be in the same mind of the Lord. Now, some of you may have read this before and may have studied this out before and maybe might have a negative thought process about this, or maybe you've heard this on the radio or on a YouTube channel. But just because someone has a disagreement doesn't mean it's bad. Right? Doesn't mean it's bad. These two women here are doing, they're serving the Lord, they're doing something well in my mind. And Paul is just encouraging them, hey, just make sure you have this, the mind of Christ. Make sure you both have Christ's mind with what you're doing. Because many times we can be doing something well in the body we're associated with, but it might be outside of the mind of Christ. In and of itself, not bad. In and of itself, not negative, right? Maybe just the wrong focus. Now, what I see here is something positive. These women are actually taking their faith and putting it into action. He's not saying, tell these women to stop being lazy and do something. They have their faith and they're actually acting out on it. He's just saying, hey, I hope you to have the mind of the Lord here. Humble, don't forget your calling, what the Lord has for you, to stay focused and be humble and meek in the mind of Christ. Just keep that in mind. Verse 3, I ask you also, true companion, whether this is the individual or peoples, we don't know, but Paul's asking that people there, a person at Philippi, to help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. That lends me to believe there's really nothing negative happening here. Because he would have had this time to rebuke them and say, hey, I have heard, or it's been said, or you're doing this, stop. And here's what I'm saying to stop, and here's what I'm telling you what I want it to look like. He's not doing that. He's just saying, hey, guys, help them out. Maybe these women are doing more than they should because other people are being lazy. Just a thought. Sometimes we can get in that groove, can't we? And take it out of context here and apply it to us now. Sometimes we get comfortable with, oh, they'll do it. They got it. They've been doing it. I'll let them do it. And there's no communication happening. When I'm sure these women would have loved to have had someone help them and say, hey, I know you ladies have been doing this for a long time. What can I do to help? You're laboring. You're doing great things. Paul is saying, have the same mind of Christ. How can I help? What can I do? Interesting, isn't it? Paul is saying, hey guys, or guy, help encourage people to help these women out who are doing great things for the cause of Christ. Don't just assume they're always going to be there and always do it. Don't just assume that. And this is a mature church. They've been a church for about 10 years now. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let everyone come to know your gentleness. The Lord is at hand. He's just repeating what he said in 3:20, which says, but our citizenship is in heaven, from where also we await for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul is thinking, when he's writing this from prison, that the Lord,
he's going to see Christ. They're going to be whoop, taken away, snatched away, harpazo, if you will.
They're going to go up and see him. Paul is saying that. Paul, there are no signs. So if you guys are into end times things, be careful, because there are no signs for Christ to come and get his church. And most of the end time signs that are talked about are in the 7-year tribulation period. We're never taught or told to look for the Antichrist. We're told to look for Jesus. Right? So be careful getting caught up in, this is happening here, this is happening there. The Bible said this. Yeah, but in what context? Oh, in the tribulation period? We're not there yet. So those signs that you're looking for aren't for us. Paul was thinking at any time he was going to be taken away. That helps us have a good grasp on reality to allow Christ to live his life through us here and now, right? And not say, well, I'm not seeing these signs as of yet. Now it's subjective, right? Well, this sign means something to you, but I think it means this, and I think it means that. Whoa. Nope. Paul thought it was going to happen in his day. The Lord's at hand, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. That's the idea of having a distracted mind. That's the idea of having a distracted mind. Be anxious for nothing. Now, they would have a distracted mind, the Philippians. So again, Paul in prison, right, to the believers at Philippi, their minds are distracted on people wanting to harm them. Their minds are distracted on people wanting to come in who believe a more Jewish legalistic way of doing things and say maybe yes, believe in Jesus, plus keep the law. Their minds are distracted on those things. Many times what can happen is as a 21st century believer reads this now, their mind goes to, here's what I'm not going to be anxious about. Well, be careful applying these things to your life. Understand the context first. Number one, are you running for your life because they want to kill you for believing in Jesus? If you're not, then technically this verse doesn't apply to you. But what kind of principle can you glean from it? Right? A principle. I'll rejoice in the Lord always. That's the principle. When I rejoice in the Lord, my mind will be focused on what I have. Here in the context when they're rejoicing in the Lord, it's that heaven's their home. So when they come and kill you, you'll be in heaven. It's all good. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, as we read today and go, okay, what am I not going to be anxious about? Or what am I not going to allow my mind to be distracted with? There are several principles, right? Let's just make sure that we understand the Bible context before we jump into, well, I have an anxious problem. I have this. I have that, right? Let's just take a step back and say, okay, what am I praising the Lord about right now? What positive, encouraging things that I have in the Lord right now that I'm focused on? Right? The prescription isn't things that are focused on not worrying. The prescription isn't things that are focused on what not to be anxious about. The prescription is, I'm going to focus my heart on what I have in Christ. Why? Why is that? Because my value is in Christ. My significance is in Christ. My true meaning is in Christ. My position is in Christ. That's why. So when I focus on what I have in Him, on how He views me, on my acceptance from Him, not from my spouse, not from my kids, not some silly lineage I'm going to pass down. I don't care about any of that. All I care about is, how does He view me? What is He requiring of me?
What is the Lord delight in my life today as a 21st century believer? When I focus on that, my mind is so full of what I have, it's not distracted on the what ifs, maybes, how comes, could be's, and what should could be. Because my mind is settled on this is who I am, and this is all that matters. Because when I go to be with the Lord, the only thing that matters is who I am and what I've allowed Christ to do through me while I've been here. And what's not going to matter when I'm in heaven is me having a distracted mind on all these things, and many of them are actually good things, right? Most things that distract believers today are not bad. They're actually good, but they're taking place of what's best. Right? Okay, so here's what he does. The Lord's at hand, praise the Lord. So when they come to kill you, don't worry. You'll be up there with him. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with gratitude, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is a prescription. That's a prescription, right? I'm going to get my mind's anxious, if my thoughts are being distracted, I'm going to bring back to reality. And the reality is, this is how I communicate with the Lord. This is what I'm focused on. This is what I'm going to talk to God about. The kicker is being grateful, right? With gratitude, I can make my request known to God. Boop. So I get my mind cleared of the unknowns, because what can happen? I said it 2 weeks ago. What can happen if my mind is distracted? In the Philippians case, if my mind is distracted on my enemies coming in, on people that want to cause harm, people want to teach a false doctrine or false teaching, if my mind is always focused on what they might do or what might happen to me, now, second tier is I start actually thinking that's happening right now, which is high blood pressure, ulcers, heart palpitations, fill in the blank. To where now, third tier is I don't tell anybody about Jesus. I don't live godly and righteous. I'm not gentle and kind and outspoken and loving and generous and helpful, because that would bring too much attention to me. I don't want that. All because my mind is taking me to a place that is not even true. But my brain cannot tell the difference. It thinks it's happening right now. On a side note, if you guys want a cool book to read about this, there's a guy by the name of Don Culver. He's a medical doctor in New York. He wrote a book called Deadly Emotions. He's a believer in Christ. And he wrote down a lot of themes health-wise that he was seeing, was specifically people that went to church and what they did, how they thought, and how it affected them physically. Now, some people would get mad, he didn't give them a pill. He said, a pill's not going to help you. It's a thought process. It's your heart. It's what you're focused on. Okay? Don Colbert, Deadly Emotions. Good book. So as they pray, as they're making their request to God with gratitude, a byproduct will be, verse 7, and the peace of God. Stop right there. There's peace of God and peace with God. Not everyone has peace with God. That's Romans chapter 5. Peace with God are those that are born again. That's peace with God. A believer in Christ might not have the peace of God because their minds are focused on, they're distracted, right? But if I get back in touch with the Lord, back in touch with my praying, supplications, being grateful, okay, my part is, I have a peace that comes upon me. Notice the circumstance does not change. The circumstance is still the same.
The circumstance they're living in is still people wanting to kill them, people, dogs wanting to come in and teach a false religion and get them to do things that they shouldn't be doing. That circumstance is still there, but the peace of God is what's different. Right? So God, most of the time, will not take your circumstance away. That's just how evil is in the world. The world, flesh, and devil, right? He won't always take those away. But he'll give you peace to go through that circumstance. And at the end of the day, that's what you really want, right? That's what you really want, is that peace. What else will happen? It'll surpass all understanding. People will go, how is it that you can be going through this and have total, complete peace? I'm grateful for what I have. I'm talking to the Lord about other people. I'm praying to the Lord about other things. I don't have time on the what-ifs, maybes, how-comes, might-bes, and what could happen. My mind is too busy with what I have now and what I desire God to have done through me and for my friends and family. What else will happen as a byproduct? The next thing that will happen is he will protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He'll protect them. He'll protect your heart. He'll help you stay focused. He'll help you keep on the straight and narrow with your mind. Okay? He'll help, boom, have a buffer around that. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Let's take it from the top. Rejoice in the Lord. He's proud of them. Put them to stand fast in the Lord. He is encouraging people to come together, have a mind of Christ, to labor moving forward, letting them know the Lord's at hand, how to not be, have their minds distracted. And he goes now a step further on what system is going to help me not be distracted. I'm going to focus on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and praise. This is what's going to help these people at this time with what they're going through back then. Okay? That's specifically narrowed down instructions for this group of people. With what they were thinking about, with what they were going through, with how their culture is, with where they're at, people wanting to kill them, this was their remedy. Now, a lot of times, people just want to take this right out and say, I'm going to do these things and God will do this. Maybe. Maybe. But don't get upset with God if you focus on these things and it doesn't happen. Right? Why? This is Paul writing to a specific group. If this were to be always true for everyone, it would be in every New Testament book. Now, I'll take a step back. I'm not saying that this focus on this right now is not bad. I'm just wanting you to have good expectations, right? People want to take things out and say, you know, well, the Bible says here, you could say the Bible says this anywhere. It doesn't mean it's right. A lot of the Bible is written about things that are wrong, right? We don't want to do that. So this is a good principle to have our minds focused on this, but I have to be a little bit more detailed on, okay, what is true? What is true? What does that mean for me practically today? What is lovely? What is of a good report? Right? Now, if we're going to make it practical for us today, I'll have to tell you, don't watch any news.
Yes.
Don't watch any news. There's nothing true on there. There's nothing pure and honest. There's nothing lovely. There's not a good report. There's no virtue, which means manliness in the Greek, or valor. There's no praise on there. And yet how many of us watch the news? Maybe a little longer than we should.
Now, is the news bad? Necessarily, no.
But will it distract my mind? If what I'm focused on doesn't help propel me to go to God's throne and pray with gratitude, should I really give it that much attention? Is my mind distracted? Am I anxious on things that I cannot control? You can talk about your state all you want. You can talk about the government all you want. You can talk about what things you don't have all you want, all the bad decisions people are doing in power all you want. Now what? Now what? Nothing good there. Virtuous, praiseworthy. And to come full circle when someone says, I know what Christians believe. They're always angry at this and that. I have to say, and many of you have to say, I'm sorry. Not all of us think that way. Not all of us talk like that. Not all of us are focused on those things. I'm sorry that they say they're Christians and do that, but that's not us. What I focus on is what's true, what's pure, what's blameless, what's virtuous. That's what I focus on. I'm sorry for what they're doing. And that's why there are many groups that I don't hang out with in public. Why? Because I'll be associated with them, and all I do is whine and complain about how bad things are. If you're born again and heaven's your home and the Lord's coming, the Lord is at hand, here's all the great things I have in Christ, and that's what I'm displaying, no thanks, bro. We're not hanging out. So I don't want to be in that group that meets here and does these things and they're always talking about this issue all the time. I still got time for that. Nope. I'll stay away. Things that are pure, good report, virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Here's what's going to happen. Last thing and I'm done. You guys are doing good. Do those things. That means practice. Do those things which you have both learned, received, heard, and seen. Four things in me. And here's a Bible promise, and the God of peace will be with you, to the Philippians. Now, I think this is true for us also. I think it's also true for us. So, do the things which you have both learned. There's a two-way street here, right? You guys are doing okay? Two-way street. That means Paul is teaching something, and they have the heart to want to learn. It goes two ways. Paul is teaching, and they're saying, yes, we'll take that. Okay? Second thing we see here, both learned and received. Paul gave, opened up his mouth, he gave and they took. See how it goes? Paul gave and they took it. They received it. What else? Heard. Paul spoke out loud verbally and they heard. They listened to it. He said things out loud and they go, I'm hearing. Okay. I like what I hear, or I don't like what I hear, but it's good, I'm going to do it anyway. Last thing is seen. He behaved in a way that backed up the previous three. Seen. He acted out the previous three things. There's many types of leaders, right? There are the leaders that do as I say it, not as I do. Then there are those leaders that say, do as I do. Then there are some leaders that say, do as I do and I'll do it with you. Come on. We'll do it together. I think Paul was that third one. Come on, let's do it together. So it goes both ways. He came to this group 10 years ago. He's saying, listen, guys, remember, you learned these things, you received them, you heard them, and you've seen them in me. Practice them. Continually. It's not a one-time thing, right? Now remember, at this time, this letter, this scroll letter, is the only thing that we know of that they have at this time. The Bible isn't written, the Bible isn't put together, they have one letter, okay? So everything has been verbal, everything's been taught, they may have things jotted down on other scrolls we don't know about, but here's what we know. They're just receiving this letter 10 years after the church has been planted and started and growing. And now they have something written down that they can look back on and say, oh yeah, Paul said this. Oh yeah, Paul said that. They have something written down solid now. Right? So before, it was just things that they had remembered as Paul was there. And again, as we know, Paul never really stayed somewhere for too long, right? I think the longest view is that, like, Corinth, like a year and a half, maybe. Ephesus about 2 years, I can't remember now. But he's saying, listen, these four things you did, now continue to practice them. It's like saying, well, I read the Bible once, or I read the letter to the Philippians once, or I've read that once. It's not about you reading anything. For us today, it's not about what you read, it's what are you doing with what you know. It's not about how much I know. Well, what you do know, what are you doing? It's not about, I don't have this, I don't have that, I wish I had this. No, no, no. I have this, and here's what I'm doing with what I know. I know that I'm going to be praying for others. I do it every day. Praise the Lord. That's fantastic. I know God wants to talk with me. I know he wants to abide in me. I know he wants to hear from me. I know he wants me to be on his mind all the time. That's it. That's it. It's not about reading something and saying, well, I don't know what this says. What do you know with what you have learned? With what you've heard? With what you've seen? Are you practicing those things? It's amazing how all of us in America as believers understand intellectually we need a foundation of our faith system, right? We need a foundation. And it's so easy for a lot of 21st century Americans in America to jump to all these things over here. All these truths that we really don't know much about. Let's focus on what we do know, right? Here's what I know. Philippians tells me that I am to live, even Philippians, and that's for today, to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Where? In the middle of a perverse generation. You got it. I can do that. I can do that. I don't know every chapter and verse Philippians says. I don't know. I don't have everything memorized. This isn't written to memorize. So I went to a group of people at this time to help them get on track to not worry about what happens if they die, if they're chased down and killed. You're reading this 2,000 years later with what you're going through. There's no constitution here. There's no country founded on God here. They had no rights. They had no attorneys that were going to help them out. They didn't have a prison that was three hots and a cot and get a college degree. Different. Different things to be anxious about. And Paul's helping them get through their life with what they have, with where they're at. So their lives are still honoring and glorifying the Lord. And he gives them help what to focus on mentally as they're going through that. Do those things which you have received, heard, learned, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a promise. He's telling them if they do those four things, this will happen. Now you might be sitting here going, I know these things, and I actually do these things. Man, praise God, keep doing it. But if you know someone that might need help with this stuff, are you going to have the mind of Christ and humble yourself and say, you know what? I'm at least going to try and offer to help them see these truths so I can connect them with Christ. Not them and me per se, them in Christ, so that they can see what I have. Isn't it hard to explain to someone what you have in the Lord? To try and actually articulate verbally what you have in Christ. It's kind of hard, right? Something that you feel, you have, you know. Hard to get it out in words. So when we point people to these truths for them to practice and do, they go, oh, now I understand. Now I understand. What am I doing with what I know? What am I doing with what I know? Paul is in prison, not focused on what he doesn't have. Focus on what he has. Focus on what they understand and helping them, whoop, stand the straight and narrow while they have adversaries coming after them. A lot of good principles that we can apply to our lives today to help others experience the great things that we have also. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We're grateful and thankful for Philippians chapter number 4. On those believers there. Thank you, Lord, for writing, allowing those to be written down so we can understand those truths. We can apply many of them to our life today. And Lord, there could come a day in our country where we actually are running for our lives, that we are being hunted down and killed. If that's going to happen, allow these truths to come forth in our hearts to remind us that there's nothing new. It's happened before. Now we can look forward to our citizenship, which is in heaven. But until then, allow our minds not be distracted. Allow our hearts to be focused on things that are true, just, that are pure, of virtue, good report, lovely. And allow us to practice the things that we have both learned, received, heard, and seen. And that it may be done for your honor and glory. Bless our afternoon now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.